Morning. It's another opportunity, we thank God, to have this time together and fellowship with one another. I hope we are not down about the weather, because I love it. I know I'm not weird. I'm also a human being. It's just, I think it's different for me. So I just like the fact that it's cool. I know people say, oh, it's dark. Oh, it's gloomy. But, you know, your joy should not be dependent on the weather. So whether it is shining, sun is shining, which is lovely, or whether it is dark. Because if you were far north, where it's already it turns dark from like 11 a.m., will you say it's bad weather? The people there already are used to that kind of situation. So I believe and I trust God that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So by God's grace, this morning, we want to continue. The last time I was here, we were looking at the story of Moses and his encounter with God. You know, we talked about the fact that Moses set up a tent, and the tent was called the Tabernacle of Meeting in Exodus 33. That tent was set up so that people can go and meet with God. So I'm just going to continue in that study. And we are going to be talking about the demand for the presence of God this morning. So let's turn our Bibles to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. I'm going to read from verse 12. And I will take it, I'll just read it down to verse 18. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will expound His word to our hearts as we contemplate this matter of the demand for the presence of God. I'm praying that by the time we have finished looking at the word of God, your prayer will be, oh Lord, let your presence be strong in my heart. My brother was praying a prayer this morning, Billy. He said, God, he wants, you know, that prayer was that, Lord, let it be obvious to us that you are real. And you know, we've discussed this before here, that the Lord is real. He's far, far present and much more real than the air you breathe. I know we think, or should I say, we accept that we are breathing in air, isn't it? I know it's as simple as that. If you ask a child now, what are you breathing in? He won't tell you he's breathing in sand. Will he say that? No, he's breathing in air. And some of them will go down to the chemistry of what they are breathing in. They will tell you they are breathing in oxygen and they bring out carbon dioxide, isn't it? Yes. And they believe it with the whole of their heart. And beloved, that's the same with God. Our God is not just, you know, we've said it. At times we think, oh, God is far away. He's just somewhere in space. So if you want to say, oh, there's God, let me just believe there's God, then you close your eyes and say, let me just imagine God, yes, He's far away there and I'm down here. No, God is real. He's very present with us. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, He's there in their midst. So as we are now, the Lord is here. Don't think that you have to be in one special place for you to agree with your heart that the Lord is present. when we say we are going to church, we assume that, oh, God is only in one building. Do you know if you and your wife sit down at home and you are talking, do you know the Lord is there? The Lord is there. No wonder when the Bible was talking about divorce in the book of Habakkuk, the Bible says, was talking about the man. He said that, I am a witness between you and the wife of your youth. So the question arises, so God is actually there. He's not different. He's not until you call him from somewhere. He's very present. So I want to encourage your heart. Maybe we'll start on that note. I want to encourage your heart that the Lord is not far away that you cannot reach him. The Bible talks about the fact that if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Exodus 33, I'll read from verse 12. This is Moses. Then Moses said to the Lord, he was talking to God here. He said, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation is your people. Verse 14. And he said, this is God, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known to your people? How then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate. Your people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Verse 18. Moses prayed, please show me your glory. I will stop here. I'm trusting that God will expound his word onto our hearts. So here was Moses with the people of God, with the children of Israel. And Moses was praying a prayer in verse 12. And that prayer, he said in verse 12, he says, see, you say to me, bring up these people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. God had told Moses to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 3. And if you remember the story of the burning bush, when God was trying to catch Moses' attention, Moses was, you know, minding his own business, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And he saw bush that was burning and was not actually being consumed. So the Bible said he turned aside to look at that great sight. Bush that was on fire. He looked at the leaves. They were still green. And the Bible said he turned aside to look at it. And you know, again and again, God wants me and you to turn aside, so that he can engage with us. I know we are in a busy world. I know we have so many things to do. But at times, God wants you to turn aside so that he can catch your attention. So that he can bring you close to do what he wants you to do for him. So God had told Moses in that encounter to lead the children of Israel, that he was going to send them. He was going to send him to Egypt to bring the children of Israel out. And I remember, we don't have time to look at it. Moses looked at God and said, God, who am I? Who am I? In Exodus 3, if you check it, he said, who am I that you should send me to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses understood his helplessness, his emptiness, his inability to do anything for God. He knew it. Do you remember? Moses actually wanted to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But which method did he adopt? He started killing the Egyptians one by one. Do you remember? Do you remember that story? It's just because of time. I would have taken us to Exodus to see it. Moses had started. He went out to look at the Hebrews under slavery. And he was touched. So he saw an Egyptian flogging somebody, a Hebrew slave. And what did he do? He killed the Egyptian and buried him. That was a man who wanted to deliver the people of Israel, isn't it? But he didn't have the ability to do it. So he ran away. And God was now telling him, you are going to go and deliver them. And Moses said, who am I? And do you know, when he said, who am I? God answered him. The answer, maybe we should look at it. Let's just go to Exodus 3. Very quickly. Exodus 3. You will see Moses talking to God there. Exodus 3, verse 10. I'll read it from verse 10. This is God talking. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Then verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Look at how God answered him. Verse 12. So he said, I, that's God, will certainly be with you. Isn't that wonderful? God was telling Moses, I know you can't do it on your own, but I am going to be with you. You know, this is so touching to me. That, do you know, as children, they are so dependent on their parents. We can do an experiment now. Huh? Yes, we can do an experiment now. That, you see, before the children will do anything, what will they do? They will look at mommy and daddy. Have you noticed it? Yes. Eddie, if I bring a box of chocolates to you now and I say eat, will you eat it? See, do you see what I did? He just... He wouldn't. He would just look at mommy. Say, mommy is looking at me. Why are children so dependent? It's because that is, you know, the Bible says, if you do not receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will never enter it. But unfortunately, as we grow older, we lose our dependence. And we think we know. Isn't it? That's what happens. But God wants me and you to be totally dependent on Him, like a child. Do you know, a child, it's so wonderful to see how they copy their parents. I never knew that I was unconsciously affecting the dressing, the way my son was dressing. I never knew. At times, I like wearing some pullovers, just like this. And as Samuel was growing, he too, he would like to wear pullovers. And I was thinking, but who is teaching him? I never told him this is what you should wear. I left him. I said, do wear what you want to wear. The only thing is I don't want you to be, as you grow older, become like those, you know, those people who just dress irresponsibly with their trousers. And then when they are walking, they are doing this. I know. You see, that's why. You see, when I see those guys walk dressed like that, do you know what comes to me? I know who they are looking at. You see, I used to listen to hardcore rap music in those days. All those black music that they import from, the rappers do from America. And I loved the type of music. And unconsciously, I started dressing like those musical rappers I used to watch. So me too, I started wearing big. Anytime I go to the shop, my jeans will not be normal size. It will be big. And unconsciously, in secondary school, influence. When I'm walking, I'm already walking like them. It's because these are the people that I've been watching, and I've been watching. I quietly did not know. I wouldn't walk normally in school. I started doing this. Why? Unconsciously. No, you will tell me, oh, you deliberately set out. No, I did not. It's because those are the people, they were my role models. And quietly, they were affecting me. They did not need to send an email or a letter to me and say, see, I want you to start dressing like this. Quietly, they were already influencing me. So do you know, the same thing applies. The more you look at God, the more you make Jesus your focus, the more you want to be like him. You see, Jesus will influence you as long as you keep looking at him. It's the person you look at all the time that will determine how you behave. The same thing happened with Peter. Do you remember Peter? Peter denied Jesus. Even his speech he was talking like Jesus. That's why he couldn't deny Jesus successfully. Every time Peter spoke, it was as if Jesus was speaking. They had to tell him, but you sound like him. And Peter would say, me? No. Even when he said no, it was like it was Jesus saying no. Why? Because he had spent time with Jesus. And what happens when you spend time with Jesus? He rubs his character. He rubs his way of life on your heart. So I want to challenge us. Like we saw Moses here. He said, who am I? He knew he didn't have strength in himself. So what did he do? He cried to God. He said, I can't do it. Who am I? But God reassured him. He said, I will be with you. Oh, beloved brethren, I want to tell you, when God says, I will be with you, it's wonderful. When God assures you of his presence, money cannot buy it. Money can't buy it. And I want to challenge you, because we see in this scripture, in Exodus 33, going back to Exodus 33 now, Moses was asking God, because Moses knew the importance of God's presence with a man. He knew. There was no way Moses could conquer the Egyptians by himself. And with the finger of God with Moses. Or do you notice one of the wonders that Moses performed, that God performed through Moses? That his rod suddenly became the rod of God. You know that rod that he was using to control the sheep? Oh, let me not do my sounds now, because where I grew up in Nigeria, the headsmen, there's a sound they make. And once they make that sound, their cattle and their sheep respond instantly. That rod that he was using to guide the sheep suddenly became the rod of God. He got to Pharaoh, and he dropped that rod, and the rod became a serpent. The Egyptians said, ah, we've seen this before. You know those Egyptians, magicians? They said, ah, we too. Because the world also has replicas. What God does, the enemy gives you a counterfeit. and says, we too, we can do it. So Moses dropped the rod of God and he became a serpent. What happened? The Egyptian magician said, we have seen this before. So they too, they dropped their own. But God showed who was in charge. The Bible said, the serpent that became Moses' rod, or the rod that became the serpent, swallowed up the serpents of all the other Egyptians. To show you who is in charge. So I want to encourage you. Please, like Moses was praying here in Exodus 33. He said, let me read it again. Exodus 33. Moses was reminding God from verse 12. He said, you said to me to bring these people, but you have not let me know whom you are going to send with me. Like a child will not go anywhere except mommy and daddy follow him. A child will say, mommy, are we not going to church? And mommy and daddy say, no, we are not going. Ah, mommy, why? Why? That child wants to go to church. But mommy and daddy are tired. Can the child go to church on his own? Let's think about it. Who is going to drive the car? It's mommy and daddy. But the child can't go. Why? Because mommy and daddy are not going. So what is God trying to teach us here? If Moses was praying for God to go with, if Moses was saying, God, I can't do this on my own. You've not told me who is going to go with me. We must not graduate from this, beloved brethren, that anything we want to do, we are saying, God, should we go ahead or should we not go ahead? And God is trying to achieve something with us. You see, the more you respond to God like this, you get to know him even more and more and more. You see, God's agenda for all of us is that you may know God yourself in a personal, deeper way. God wants us to do that. The Bible said of Moses, Moses talked to God as a man talked to his friend face to face. So Moses knew God. Or do you know a man by his hands? Do you know somebody by their hands? Should we do another experiment? Should we do an experiment? I will snap his hand now. And I'll snap my brother's hand now. And you won't know whose hand it is. Do you know a person by their hands? Some of you, do you know mommy's hand? Are you 100%? Do you know mommy's hand? If I snap mommy's hand and I snap auntie's hand now, will you be able to differentiate which one is mommy's, which one is auntie's? But if I snap their face, you will know mommy's face, isn't it? You will even know her voice. It's the same thing. God, do you understand this analogy? God wants me and you to come to a point that we can recognize his face. Now, recognizing his face is not physical, it's spiritual. You know it inside. A lot of us, we see God's work. We see God doing his work. We see his creation. But the reason why people do not believe in God, despite seeing the clouds suspended, why do you think so? It's because they have not engaged with God face to face. So you don't necessarily know a man by his hands, although at times you may do, if you know that person very closely. There were two men who had knee replacements in a small town. And during summer, you know, they were wearing shorts and their scars were visible. So one of them saw the other one and said, you've had a knee replacement. Oh, yeah, I had mine in December. Oh, that's, I know the surgeon who did your surgery. How do you know the surgeon? This is a conversation. Say, I know the surgeon. He said, you can't know the surgeon. So he mentioned the name. So, oh, yeah, correct. It's surgeon so-and-so that did it. How did you know? He did mine too. And apart from that, there's a way he curves his car. He gives it a curve. And that's how I know. So at times, you know God by his works. But you do not stop there. You want to know God's ways. That was why, look at the word of God. Look at Moses. He said in verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your ways. Do you know all of us, by God's grace, if you've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, you have found grace in God's sight. You know what grace is? Grace is God's God's undeserving favor towards you. That's grace. Grace is a divine ability to do something you cannot do yourself. But God has shown all of us grace. So the Bible is saying, Moses was saying, if I have found grace in your sight, then Lord, show me your ways. That is what God wants to do with us. You've come to know Jesus. Wonderful. But you need to take the next step. You need to know God's ways. You need to know God's ways. That's how God takes you deeper. The more you know God's ways, the more you can feel when he's even talking. You can know that this is God doing his work. Why? Because you are knowing his ways. So you are not just seeing his acts and his wonders. How he has healed you, how he has provided. God wants to take you to the next step. He wants you to know his ways. And it's not complicated. Honestly, the more I look at the word of God, I discover every time you yearn for more of God, God will come closer to you. Every time you say, Lord, I want to know you more. I tell you, God is not going to say, it's very hard for you to know me. Don't worry. When you get to heaven, you will know me. No, God wants you to know him right from now. Some people will be talking and they say, actually, I know the Holy Spirit just said this. You are wondering, how did the Holy Spirit tell him? It's not magic. God can also speak to you. You are looking at the word of God. Look at how Moses was demanding for God's presence. Look at it again. In verse 14. Look at it. He said, this is God talking, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Verse 15. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, you are not going. Can that be a demand in your life as well, for God's presence? That you want to embark on a project and you've not said, God, if you are not going with me with this project, then it's better that project is in the cooler. Lord, if you are not going to confirm to me that you are with me in this, I am not doing it. You are first of all interested in God's presence rather than man's presence. You want to embark on a big project and it needs money. And Bill Gates writes a letter to you and say, that project, I'm going to give you £1 billion. What will happen? Suddenly, your shoulder will just pop up. Wow. £1 billion. From guess who? Bill Gates. You even say hallelujah. You will suddenly, the way you walk will suddenly change. Why? Because £1 billion has entered the account. But excuse me, will your walk change? If God says, I am going with you. Will you suddenly say, sorry, Mr. Bill Gates, I'm not taking that £1 billion because the Lord is not going with me on this project. That's the challenge. That's the issue. The more I read the word of God, I'm seeing God wanting me to grow to a point whereby I'm longing for his presence on every issue of my life. Let me show you one scripture and then we'll round up. Proverbs chapter 3 is a very popular scripture, but is what God wants to use to bring us up in our relationship with him. Proverbs 3, is a, like I said, is a popular scripture, but I want us to read it together. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, all, acknowledge him. What does it mean to acknowledge? Acknowledge means to take note of God and bring him in everything you are doing. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your path. And I read this scripture because I was asking God, so God, how do I grow in knowing you more and more? And this scripture came. God is saying, learn to trust me, not with part of your heart. You know, at times we trust God only when the matter is very difficult. I had a challenge when I came to the UK. In Nigeria, I used to, if I'm going to do something or we are going to organize a Christian program, one of our prayer points was, oh Lord, this electricity, let it be stable. Lord, let it be stable. Let it be stable. Because where I come from, we can spend 24 hours without electricity. So even when we want to do something, Lord, I want to iron my clothes. There's no, Lord, let the electricity company bring electricity so I can iron my clothes. That was a regular prayer. When I came to the UK, there was no need. Until one day, we had a problem in our house. No power. And I remembered, when last did I pray for electricity? So the Bible is saying, trust the Lord, not with some of your heart, with all of it. And lean not on your understanding. It's normal for us to lean on the way we think. Because we assume that we've got it calculated. Some of us, you know, grown-ups among us, if you check how much you collect as a salary and how much you spend, God, you will find out that God actually is showing you mercy. You are spending more than you are collecting. God is saying, don't lean on your understanding. It's normal for us to lean on our understanding. But God is saying, I want you to keep trusting me so that you don't lean on it. He now says, in all your ways, bring God in. No matter how simple it is. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And God, him, will direct you. That is how to grow in knowing God and knowing his presence. So we are going to ask God, like Moses, Lord, if your presence will not go, it's something you should desire. Honestly. Do you know, I discovered, because of this kind of desire, I used to wonder, how with people who are about to die, they want to kill them for their faith. But they are saying, kill me quickly, because I'm going to heaven. What makes people think like that? Some terrorists attacked somebody, a family, some years ago. And they had killed the dad. And then they came to the boy. They said, convert, denounce Jesus so that we won't kill you. He looked at the terrorist and said, please, can you do this quickly? You are wasting time. I want you to kill me quickly because I know where I'm going. I want to go and join daddy. Daddy has gone to be with the Lord. It's not, looking at this world now, it's not appeasing to me anymore. I want to go and meet him. What makes people think like that is because they've come to know the God they serve. Oh, I'm praying that the presence of God for you, whether you are alive or you are about to die, you will still, your own concern is, oh God, I want to be with you. I want your presence to be my portion. That's what God is desiring of us. God wants to do more with our lives. But if you still are not interested in his presence, in him going with you, then he can't walk with you. So, beloved brethren, permit me to challenge you on this note. Like Moses demanded for God's presence, you to pray for God's presence. And honestly, the more you pray for it, God is not going to say, don't worry. God will not say, I'm not interested in giving you. The Bible says, you will find God when you seek him with the whole of your heart. May the Lord bless our relationship with him. May you start walking in a deeper way. May you desire more of God as you live your life on this side of eternity. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you again. Oh Lord, I have been challenged with your word. We saw how Moses placed a demand, not because he was arrogant, but because he knew that he could not do anything without you. And Lord, you assured him. You said, my presence will go with you. So you are challenging me that if I ask for your presence, if I ask to know you more and more, you will respond. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help us that will be our focus. That we will trust you with the whole of our hearts. Even when times are difficult, when I'm tempted to lean on my own understanding of the way of doing things, that, Lord, you will remind me by your Spirit again. You will remind us by your Holy Spirit to trust you. And we are assured from your word that you will direct our path. Father, we thank you. We just ask, oh God, that you help us speak more and more into these things, because there is more you want to tell us. You've just touched the tip of the iceberg with us. We are asking that you show us more of yourself, more of your presence. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.